Welcome to Between the Lines, where we journey beyond the surface of Scripture with hosts David and Jonathan. Get ready to deepen your faith as we uncover the hidden gems of the Bible. Without further ado, here's our show.
Here with David and Jonathan on Between the Lines, WVFF Radio 97.7. We're knee-deep in the book of Jeremiah, an amazing book. Isaiah and Jeremiah and all of the prophets. Unbelievable application to the daily Christian walk. Don't ever let anyone tell you that Old Testament does not apply. Those were different times, different people, different laws. I got news for you. There isn't hardly a verse in this Old Testament you can't apply to your daily Christian walk. And you have, if the New Testament wasn't even there, you have the entire history of Christ in the Old Testament. Our history of his ministry, our history of his sacrifice, the future history of what he's going to do later when he returns, millennial time. We are in chapter 16, and God is not with Israel now is the news that's coming up. The Jews will be persecuted. That's coming up. Israel of the end times. Got to talk about Gentile adoption. Going to even possibly get to... No, we won't get that far, so I won't even mention it. We're going to start right here in chapter 16, book of Jeremiah. The word of the Lord came... Oh, so I want to once again reiterate. Jeremiah was written over a long period of time. It's not like one of the letters of the New Testament. It was sit down and penned. You got to take into account, we got time phases, time leapages. And then we also have the time periods that God is telling Jeremiah about at this time. You know, is he talking to him about millennial time? Is he talking to him about current time? Talking to him about tribulation time? Talking to him about the time of the rebirth of the nation of Israel, 1947? Talking about the destruction of the nation of Israel in 70 AD? You gotta be very aware of the time period when you're watching. When you're reading Jeremiah, be very careful, because he'll switch from current time to millennial time. He'll switch from current time to destruction of Israel in 70 AD and all throughout. You just got to be aware. You get some time warping going on in the book of Isaiah and Jeremiah.
Read slowly.
Yes, slowly, methodically, word by word. The word of the Lord came also unto me, saying, thus shalt not take thee a wife. Thou shalt not take thee a wife. Neither shalt thou have sons or daughters in this place. That had to have been horribly depressing news for Jeremiah.
Absolutely.
But it had to be better news than it was for poor Hosea. You remember that?
Oh, God, yeah. God, you go there and get you a wife, buddy. But she's going to be a spicy one.
Yeah, God started Hosea out with, thou shalt take a wife of whoredom. And Hosea says, but Father, I'm your holy man. Why would you do this to me? And he says, my people have went a whoring after other gods, and I want you to understand what it feels like, so you can go out and preach to them with great ferocity.
First person.
Yes. Yes. I want you to have the passion that I have right now, because I'm angry. And poor Hosea, every time he come home from a trip, he had to go pull Gomer out of somebody's bed.
Yup, poor guy.
Yeah, but Jeremiah hears that thou shalt not take a wife. Oh. Either that or, yeah, buddy.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. Let's see.
Right.
Thou shalt not take thee a wife, neither shalt thou have sons or daughters in this place. But thus saith the Lord concerning the sons and concerning the daughters that are born in this place and concerning their mothers that bear them, and concerning their fathers that begat them in this land. They shall die of grievous deaths. They shall not be lamented, neither shall they be buried, but they shall be as dung upon the face of the earth. They shall be consumed by the sword and by famine, and their carcasses shall be meat for the fowls of heaven and for the beasts of the earth. Thus saith the Lord, enter not to the house of mourning, neither go to lament, nor bemoan them. For I have taken away my peace from this people, saith the Lord, even loving kindness and mercy. So, in the past, God has turned his spiritual back on Israel. Now, it appears that the absolute wrath of God is going to come down upon these people, and you can trace this all the way back to when he brought them into Canaan. He says, clean the land of all the inhabitants because the seed of the serpent is there. Do not have children with these people. And we know what happened because we, Jonathan and I, talk about it all the time. Mm-hmm. Oh, Judah said, we got to keep some for servants. And all the other chiefs of the tribe says, oh, we want servants too, but we won't have babies with them, we promise. And after they did keep them as servants, I mean, Moses has died, got down to Caleb. Caleb says, all right, you disobeyed, you kept them in the land, but don't have babies with them. Oh, mm-hmm. But what Caleb doesn't know when Caleb goes home to his tent at night, right, won't hurt Caleb, right?
Right. Well, yeah.
So here we are. God doesn't even want his holy man to have any part with any of the women there. And we'll see later when they come out of Babylon. God says, I'm done. Completely done with you. You will be nothing more than dry goods for me. And if you interpret that correctly, it will be, you will do nothing more for me but bring forth a pure line, a body for my son to inhabit. Verse 4. No, we've already well past that here. I'm getting all excited here. I love this book.
Me too.
Verse 6. Both the great and the small shall die in this land. They shall not be buried, neither shall men lament for them, nor cut themselves, nor make themselves bald for them. They're all going to be wiped out, and I'm not going to care anymore. And I don't want you to care either, Jeremiah. Neither shall men tear themselves for them in mourning to comfort them for the dead. Neither shall men give them the cup of consolation to drink for their father or for their mother. Thou shalt not also go into the house of feasting to sit with them, to eat and to drink. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will cause to cease out of this place in your eyes and in your days the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness and the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride. There will be no happiness within this land. And you see that? I will cause it, God says. Not there just be a spirit of gloominess on the land. I will cause it.
Mm-hmm. And there in verse number 8 where it says, thou shalt not also go into the house of feasting. To me, that stands out as saying that it's talking about the dates that are applicable to the actual feast
dates. Oh, yeah, religious breakdown.
So he's telling him, you're not going to do that same thing they're doing. You're going to do what I want you to do.
Yeah, yeah. Everything's going to break down. All of society.
Right.
Even their, it's the last thing they have. They don't know God anymore, but they still have their religious activities. Feast days and all that. That's gone too.
Right, right.
And it shall come to pass, when thou shalt show this people all these words, and they shall say unto thee, wherefore hath the Lord pronounced all this great evil against us? Why is God doing this to us, Jonathan?
Right, right.
Or what is our iniquity? What did we do? We're good people. We go to the temple every week, drop off a lamb. Well, Phineas, we have to cut it up ourselves. We throw it in a bucket and take and drop it off by the door. Yeah, that's what we're supposed to do, right? Or what is our iniquity? Or what is our sin that we have committed against the Lord our God? Then shalt thou say unto them, because your fathers have forsaken me, saith the Lord, and have walked after other gods, and have served them, and have worshipped them, and have forsaken me, and have not kept my law. Ah, do we pay for the sins of our fathers? Lot of application in the flesh we do. Pay for the sins of the fathers in the spirit when you stand before God? No, absolutely not. You're on your own there. You're paying for your own sins. Or you're being covered by Christ if you've made a decision. It's all your choice. And ye have done worse than your fathers. Ah, your fathers failed and failed to tell you who I am. And you're doing even, and there's something very ominous coming up here. You're doing worse than your fathers. You walk everyone after the imagination of his evil heart, that they may not hearken unto me. Therefore I will cast you out of this land into a land that ye know not, neither ye nor your fathers. And there shall ye serve other gods day and night, where I will not show you favors. Talking about the upcoming captivity in Babylon. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I shall no more be said. It shall no more be said, the Lord liveth, that brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. Basically, I will not be with you, and the remembrance of me is going to be very, very slack. But the Lord liveth, that brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north, and from all the lands whither he had driven them. And I will bring them again into their land that I gave unto their fathers. Now, he just made a prophecy of the 1947 coming together of the nation of Israel. You know how in all these books, it always goes back to the Lord that brought us out of the land of Egypt. The Almighty God that brought us out of the land of Egypt. He said, no, that's not how you're going to be known anymore, but warp, time warp ahead. There's going to come a time that I'm going to be known as the Lord liveth that brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north and from all the lands whither he had driven them. And I will bring them again into their land that I gave unto their fathers, because I caused them to be scattered in 70 AD when the Romans besieged Jerusalem because of their treatment of Messiah, the one they had waited for forever. And when he came, they didn't even recognize him. And the Pharisees that did recognize him chose to try to mitigate away Messiah.
So they could have the throne.
Yes, because he was not the Messiah that they was wanting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They'd waited for so long. And then he, instead of riding up on a white horse, which the book said he wouldn't do, he said he's going to do that the second time he comes. But that part about him being born as an innocent child and being a servant.
And suffering.
Suffering servant, yes. And washing feet and...
Mm-hmm.
No!
Hanging out with the tax collectors.
Yes, and tax collectors and prostitutes and yeah. And tearing down the religious structure of the time. That's not the Messiah we want. We're going to fast forward past that one, crucify that one, and wait for the one to come on the white horse with the army. That's mm-hmm. what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Behold, I will send for my many fishers, saith the Lord, and they shall fish them. And after will I send for many hunters. This is the interesting part I was telling you about. They shall hunt them from every mountain, from every hill, and out of the holes of the rocks. 1947, in one day, the nation of Israel was established. And God even says that. Couple chapters back. Can a nation be born in one day? No, it's very hard. Spiritually, through the power of God, absolutely. You know, the United States wasn't born in one day. We were established colonies. We got tired of our mother UK, and we fought a long, drawn-out war to be established, and then it took years to establish the Constitution. But in one day, the nation of Israel was proclaimed, because it was said, it was prophesied in this book, and only through God's power can something so spectacular on this earth happen. For mine eyes are upon all their ways. They are not hid from my face, neither is their iniquity hid from mine eyes. He says, I'm going to send fishers and hunters. Now he's talking about the time right and directly, and even to this day after 1947. I still see commercials on the television that promote bringing the Jews back to the Holy Land. Mm-hmm. Free airplane tickets.
Mm-hmm.
Free accommodations. I mean, there are many groups for many, many years now who have been locating hunters and fishing for them, searching for them,
mm-hmm.
and to bring them back to the Holy Land. Why would they do that? Because the Spirit of God told them to, because he says right there, I'm going to make fishers and hunters, and I'm going to bring them from all the four winds of the earth where I had sent them. And the amazing thing we talked about the other day was, for 2,000 years they've been thrown into the world to live among the heathen, and the Christian and the Muslim and the Hindu, and they kept their personhood. They kept their Jewish religion. That's all they have to hang on to, because they threw Messiah away, but they held on to their customs and their identity. And that's almost an impossible task either. Look at all the people, the millions that migrated to the United States. A generation or two later, they're Americans. They're not Italians anymore. They're not French anymore. They're not Germans anymore. Only the first generation held on to that. They wanted to become Americans, but not the Jews, for some strange reason. And it's not a strange reason if you read this book. God said, I will. They are mine. Going to mark them as mine. They will keep their identities throughout the world. And 2,000 years from the time they're thrown out in 70 AD, thrown out of their land, I'm going to bring them together. In one day, I'm going to create a nation. And I'm going to send fishers and hunters. You're seeing that, folks, happen right now. You've seen it happen for years now, but you're seeing the last tail end of it. That's almost complete. And first, I will recompense their iniquity and their sin double, because they have defiled my land and have filled mine inheritance with the carcasses of their detestable and abominable things. My Lord, my strength and my fortress and my refuge, in the day of affliction, the Gentiles shall come unto thee from the ends of the earth, and shall say, surely our fathers have inherited lies, vanity, and things wherein there is no profit. Shall a man make gods unto himself? And they are no gods. If he does, they are useless, inanimate objects. Therefore, behold, I will this once cause them to know. I will cause them to know mine hand and my might, and they shall know that my name is the Lord. There is a lot in there. I want to back up. I'm going to send fishers and hunters. That's in 16. For mine eyes are upon all their ways. They're not hid from my face, neither is their iniquity hid from mine eyes. Okay. God's watching them everywhere they are in the world. He still sees their iniquity. He still sees their disobedience. He still sees their refusal. Christianity's all around them. Refusal to accept the Messiah. And first, I will recompense their iniquity. Repay their iniquity. And their sin double. Because they have defiled my land. They have filled my inheritance with the carcasses of their detestable and abominable things.
We'll be back with more spiritual insights on Between the Lines after a brief message from our sponsors. Stay tuned!